Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Pack here, but you know we're gonna get through this though. It's gonna be good. So, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Father, I thank you for this word tonight. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that God, you give us your word. It's everything to us. So Father, give us eyes to see, a heart to receive, and Lord, Lord, open our ears, Lord. I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Lord, increase our faith tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as I have tackled the book of Ephesians, and I hope that you're reading along and you're jumping into it and dissecting some of it. You know, one of the things one of the great takeaways today from it was a personal revelation, just the life of Paul. And I don't know if you've ever thought about, you know, as you read about Bible characters or you're reading about people in the Bible, to really just to dig in and think about their life. You know, I thought, man, he's not only an apostle, he's a pastor. You know, he's operating in every area as an apostle, of course. But you know, he jumps into even in section and 3 verses 14 through 21, and he begins to discover something that I think is very, very profound, very unique, very powerful, and that's the love that he has for the church. He has such a love and compassion for the church. And I think if there's one thing I would tell you, that having Dr. Morocco here, you'll not see any greater love for the body of Christ than he has. I can't express it, because I can't put it into words. But how much he loves the body and how much he loves the church, and I think there's a real revelation that we can gather through that. I realize that, you know, I've pastored a very short amount of time, and Dr. Morocco reminded me of that, and he said, "You're young. You need to get busy." That was a word of encouragement to me. Amen. So you're young. You need to get busy. You know, he reminded me of his age. You know, he reminded me of not only through his preaching, but these were personal conversations. You know, I went to Dallas because I know how important the gospel is in America right now. I went to Dallas because we've started congregations because I know how important it is, and that the church at this point in time in history has to take a stand. And, you know, I wouldn't say that it was a rebuke, but it was something that it was good to hear. But you know, as I said, you know, as a pastor for 12 years, I realized even something greater is the love of God. That I need to know the love of God, and I think Paul was tapping into this, and you'll see it through Ephesians, you'll see it time and time again. You know, the opportunity that I have not only to learn about his love, but is the opportunity to stay in his love. And pastoring is, I would say challenges are a great word, you know, because I think when we started into this, I didn't know that I was a pastor. And I didn't have all the understanding. I was somebody that was sent to an area, and I didn't really know how to pastor people, but it was the love of God through me that began to develop. I began to learn about him, because me and my own self, I wasn't good enough. I remember there was a point in time that someone actually came to me after being in the missions field in Hana for a couple of years, and he looked at me and said, you know, people, you know, he was actually referring to a specific person, but he says, you know, that person doesn't really like you very much. And I said, really? I don't feel that, or I don't sense that. And I begin to realize whether people like me or don't like me, it doesn't matter. But when you love God, you love God and you're doing things for the Lord, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think or feel a lot of times. So I just, you know, I'm telling you this, I sense that Paul was releasing something into the body of Christ, and it's profound, it's powerful. It's you know, that we can love deeper, we can love with a greater revelation. And if I don't love God, I can't do this. If I don't love God, if above all else, if I don't love people, I can't do this, because loving God means I've got to love people. And you'll see that that's scriptural, and that's throughout the Bible. So praise God. You know, it's quite a journey, and a journey we've been on. I want to give you something tonight, because I felt like the Lord gave me this before I came, and I want to give you just one principle, and it's a leadership principle. You're going to start hearing these in my sermons, and I'm going to talk with Pastor Miranda about it. But I'm going to give you just simple leadership principles. And just one tonight that I want to give you, if you just mark or make a mention or a note of this, it's out of Matthew chapter 12. But leadership principle, you want to call it number one, that's fine. But I want you to see this out of the Word, maybe highlight it, underline it, because there are principles in the Bible that if we do, we're diligent to follow, be obedient to the Word of God. And I feel like God's releasing things in this house, but there are going to be key things that we as the body of Christ, we need to check ourselves in, we need to be zealous for the Lord, amen. And you'll see this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And one of the great principles I taught many, many years ago to a bunch of young boys in a little class called Rural Rangers. Anybody ever heard of Rural Rangers? It was a Boy Scout group, and I remember I got started reading a word, and I got a hold of this word, and I taught this all to like 25 little guys, you know, and we went camping, and it was such a powerful word even then for me to even catch a revelation of. But it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and of the prophets. And better spoken, you know, you'll hear people say, treat others the way you want to be treated. That's a leadership principle in life that you can use in ministry, that you can use in business, that you can use with your family, that you can use with your friends, that you can use with the guy at Walmart. You can use wherever you go. But treat others the way you want to be treated. Amen. And that's I wanted just to unpack that, give that to you tonight. You know, and I wrote this down because as a leader in ministry, your job, you know if you're in a place or position where you complain, where you tear down, where you're destructive, I'm going to tell you to be honest, don't expect God to give you more. Don't expect God to give you more. That's that whole principle of treating others the way you want to be treated. Amen. And I think that's the thing. I mean, sometimes I believe this is a great family. People go above and beyond. I see God working through people, doing amazing things. You know, I even thought today that, you know, outside of maybe 100 people that were serving, you know, on Sundays and Wednesdays, 100, 125 people, you know, people don't know this a lot of times, but there's an additional probably 60 or 70 people that get ministered to monthly through our facilities, you know, in Morgantown and that place. I always get it. Guardian, yeah, I don't want to call it Heritage, but Guardian, and then Fazio's. I don't call it Fazio's anymore. I call it Fazio's. That's the correct. But people don't realize that even out of this house, 70 people, you know, roughly can get ministered to monthly. And amen. Isn't that good? Isn't God good? So I just wanted to release that to you today. But you know, listen, if we trust God. If we build our base and we build our life upon trusting Him and being obedient to do what the Word of God says, man, things will open up. And I wanted to share that with you, just, you know, jot it down, remember it, you know, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. You know, it's a principle of sowing and reaping, and that'll be another principle one day. But it's important that you understand this. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's get in the Word tonight. Praise God. So let's look at the text tonight. Wow. You know, the basis of Paul's prayer, you'll see even in just verse 14, is that was the knowledge of God, but it also dealt with Paul's purpose. And I want you to see this out of the scriptures. You know, God gives. He gives to each of us gifts. And he gives to each of us a measure of faith. That's what the Bible says. And so we understand something about the measure of faith, that how do I grow my faith? If he's given me a measure, if he's given me a seed of faith, now I'm responsible as a believer to grow that faith. I mean, I'll take healing as an example. Like if, you know, I believed in healing because it was in the Word of God, but not until I actually applied the Word of God to seeing something manifest did I see it happen. Well, I believe in healing, but I've not really known how to pray for healing. Amen. That's why foundations. That's why, you know, even just one thing like that, you know, you have to know it, but then you also have to know how to speak that. But, you know, Paul's releasing something here at the very beginning. You know, he's what does he say? He says, for this reason. So for this reason, it's like, for this reason, I do this. So Paul was identifying at the very front part of this, this is my mission, this is my vision, this is my vision, this is what I'm going to pursue. Now I want you to hear this, everybody in the house, everybody has been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean, Pastor Brad? It means that once you're saved, once you become a born-again Christian, we all play a part. Love it, right? Don't we love it that we all play a part in advancing the kingdom of God? That's what Paul was teaching so much. He was going to the Gentiles, and you'll see it. He's releasing people with the knowledge of God that if you get this in you, we're going to change the world. Hey, guess what? If we get this in us, we're going to change the world. We corporately are going to change the world. And what I love about it, it's not on the back of any one person. It's on the back of the church. It's on the back of the church. Oh, my. You know, I realize a few things out of even just the front part of this. We can't pray effectively if we don't know what God's will is. Did you catch that? We can't pray effectively if we don't know what God's will is. So Paul presents himself here as somebody that knew his mission. If we don't know the mission, we don't know what, you know, it's like, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do, you know. It's like, see, God's not, he's not sending confusion to us. So it's the peace that we take the time to understand that God wants us to fulfill our purpose on earth. Paul's purpose on earth, think about this. He was sent to the Gentiles. To what? To preach the Word of God. He was sent to the Gentiles to bring them in. Amen. I love Paul's. I mean, there's such a depth to Paul. I mean, you know, he's teaching on the fruits of the Spirit. He's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. But the one thing that if you catch a hold of, and I think that's what a doctor injected me with, that I was, he said something to me the other day. He said, You know what our problem is? He was including himself. He said, you know what our problem is? Our problem's pride. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm a prideful person. But he said, pride will always get in the way of you fulfilling everything that God wants you to fulfill. The purpose in which he's called you to. Pride will always get in the way. He said, man, when we can remove pride, and I'm just like, I'm trying to drive with my hands up, and when we can remove pride, you know, we dig a little deeper. We love a little deeper, and we'll see that even in the scriptures. And it was so good. But Paul, you know, his purpose was to preach to the Gentiles. to start churches. He wrote letters to encourage him, to encourage the body of Christ. Where was Paul at when he was writing this letter? He was in prison. He was on house arrest. It wasn't like, you know, he was at the Hilton, at the pool, right? He wasn't just go chill at the wherever. He was in prison, writing letters to the church to encourage them, to strengthen them. A time that might look very tough. What was Paul doing? He was, something got in him. And that something has to get in us as the body of Christ. That something is there not a cause? As David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cost? There's a cost. There's a cause and a cost. To do what we're getting ready to do is going to cause, you know, Pastor Miranda doesn't even, I haven't even talked to her yet about what I know the Lord has beginning to even piece together in my mind and show me. But we're going to build the church. And, you know, ultimately in building the church, we have to love the church. Amen? We have to love the church. You know, Paul takes, it's very unique here because if you see it right at the very front, Paul takes a very unique place in position. He says that he bows. He bowed before the Lord. That's a place of humility. He bowed. Even as a form of surrender. You'll see it even in the scriptures here. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is raised, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory. So Paul takes this, you know, it's a position. You know, Doctor said it, and I want that to resonate in this house because both Pastor Moran and I, you know, we realized 6 years ago when we got here, there were two things that we could never stop doing. And I feel that's the ramp up moving into 2025. That's prayer. That's prayer. That's us being in prayer. That's, you know, how we have prayer, right? But it's God's people being in prayer. And then the second thing is to reach the harvest. Those two things. What a doctor said. Those are the two things the enemy will come after. Prayer and the ability to go out and reach souls. So those are the two things that we as a church have to be mindful. I thought when he said that the other day, I was like, man, we need to put that quote on the wall, you know, because as a reminder, you know, because the enemy hates that. He hates when you pray and he hates when somebody gets led to Christ. And then taking another step, he hates when people begin to get discipled in a church. You know, a Christian that gets wounded early, gets taken out, gets mad at the church, gets mad at people, you know, the enemy can win right there. I've got them where I want them. They're not gonna cause any damage. They're not gonna invite anybody to church. They're offended. They're hurt. They're mad. They're whatever. So it moves in even into the area of discipleship. Paul's position was that of prayer. Was that of prayer. You know, I think that even to know this, see, Paul knew his place in the plan. And I think that's going to be important that in 2025, it's like, you know, as things move and as things elevate, it's knowing the place in which God can use us. Amen. In which God can maximize, you know, everything in me. Amen. It's like, I love, this is a house that serves. Amen. People serve here and, you know, it always will have to be a house of serving. God's kingdom doesn't advance if people don't serve. You know, this isn't a church. Kings is not a church of one or two people. You know, it doesn't operate that way. You guys trekking with me tonight? You see there's a global element of serving. But I believe that's what the early church did. You know, they were in a place of servitude. Definitely for sure. But see, you know, one of the things I realized even as I read this in Ephesians 3, see, God's work, God's kingdom is going to advance with us or without us. Whether you're involved or not involved, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. It's going to happen. If we would have never went to Hana, God would have sent somebody else. He had already sent multiple people. We knew that. And we knew that we weren't the best choice. I absolutely 100%. There's a lot better preachers than me. There's a lot better people that could have been here than me. Those were conversations I had with the Lord quite often. Lord, why me? What is God looking for? It's not about me, but what is God looking for? He's looking for our availability, not our. How much do we know? Not how much can, you know? He's looking for a vessel. He's looking for somebody that will just say yes. Somebody that will move in that arena. Just say, God, I trust you. I believe you. And that's what I did. I believe God. I just begin to believe Him. I begin to see it in the Word. I said, Lord, I'm going to believe you above all else. More than I can even think or imagine, I'm going to believe you. Amen. See, once we begin to possess that on the inside, it's things shift, things turn, things begin to grow. Faith begins to grow. Amen. That mustard seed begins to grow from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Amen. From faith to faith. See, God's Word, it's unstoppable. God's church is unstoppable. Guys, it's an unstoppable thing. People think, well, you know, the church. No. To be honest, even when things happen around the globe, as long as the church remains and is not raptured out of here, the church is an unstoppable force. Unstoppable. You know, and that's through loving God. I know that. Through loving Him, I know that. You know, you think about it. There's times, even as an example, there's times in prayer where somebody doesn't make it on a prayer call. It's happened to me. My phone got messed up a few different times. What happened? Did you guys not pray because I wasn't there? No, God's people moved into an area of prayer and they begin to pray. I don't know where Pastor Brad's at. Maybe he's sleeping. No, you know what they did? They picked the ball up and they ran with it. See, once it gets in you, once things get in you, everything shifts. It shifts. I'm picking the bait. It's like you have to see it. It's like a war. You know, you guys like, you know, like Braveheart. You ever watch any of that stuff? You know, it's like the one guy that carries the flag, and you'll see it in the movie The Patriot. And here's the one guy in the middle of the battle carrying the flag. He gets knocked down. He gets shot, and somebody picks it up, and they continue to carry the flag. That's the body of Christ. Amen. That's how we win. And so you know, it's you've got to. If we catch this, I'm telling you, if we pick each other up. We don't tear each other down. We, you know, above all else, the body of Christ has to love each other. That's not in my notes tonight, but you do everything you can do to be at peace with people. But love them. Love them. I probably have had a greater love for Doctor. You guys know, I mean, the calls that I've received from people here, even about him visiting, it blessed me. It blessed me because of what people were saying about him being here. We didn't know. We didn't understand that we didn't understand what was really standing before us. It's not me to elevate a man. That's not what this is about. That it has nothing to do with that. There is honor. But just as Paul was releasing this into churches, and as Paul was releasing his power into churches, man, that's what we want to see. I got to come out of that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God is good, man. He's so good. Look at verse 16. That he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints with the width and the length and depth and height. Wow. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. You know, this... you know, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. It's Paul asked that we would be strengthened with might, God's power. that we would be strengthened with his might. Above all else, it comes from him. It's not, guys, there are certain things that you can do in your own personal strength. But when God, when the Holy Spirit is on you, and when the Spirit of God is upon you, there's things that you'll see through this text that, you know, more than I can even think or imagine, God can do. The riches of God's glory. More than we can even think. What God, you know, we think, oh, I got, you know, I remember one time when I it was just a point in time, there was favor. And, you know, and things, we had planted a seed, and I, you know, and then I watched God, because we had needs. I mean, you know, honestly, there were times financially where I needed a breakthrough. The only thing I knew to do was put seed in the ground. I put seed in the ground. I mean, like, and I remember the time that, you know, things started breaking loose, and, you know, I had come back to West Virginia, and, you know, and it was just like one thing after another. I could see God's favor and God's blessing, and it was just like, and I thought, oh man, this is so good. And I remember making a comment at a point in my life, was like, you know, man, this is good. And then it was like, you know, and I could remember the enemy trying to create some kind of doubt, some kind of whatever. Well, you know, this is probably only going to happen once in your life. And you got to block that stuff. You got to kick that stuff out of your head. You got, you know, and you got to fight. You got to fight against that. You got to, you know, you got to fight against that. And go back to positioning. Go back to that place of positioning. But see, you know, Paul asked that we would be strengthened with might, and that the strength would be according to the riches of his glory. Man, that's, you think about according to the riches of his glory. You serve an unlimited God. He's unlimited. He is an unlimited God. He's your Father. Wow. Wow. He's unlimited. So there's nothing that he doesn't want to, you think about, does God want, does he want his children to suffer? No. No. You know, well, Pastor, they were suffering for the sake, there's an element of persecution. We've never felt, witnessed, seen, we don't know anything about that. But according to his riches of his glory, you serve an unlimited God. That, you know, that means that the God who supplies your needs is a God that he never runs out. There's an unlimited supply. Well, I need healing again. There's an unlimited supply. I need finances again. There's an unlimited supply. It's unlimited. That's that whole more than we can even think. He's an unlimited God. And so we can't, and I love this. Man, this is so rich, because if we can tap into this, we can say, you know, no, wait, it's not about what I think or feel or know. You know, it's what I believe for. And then it's like, okay, if I'm going to believe for it, then I step into it, and then I begin to walk it out. See, the element that you have to attach faith to this, and we'll get to that in a second, but it's the element of faith that's got to be attached to your belief. You can believe something, but you can sit and believe something all day long, but until you speak, until you move, until you act upon it, it doesn't happen many times. It doesn't happen many times. Paul's, you know, Paul's warning that he was releasing that into the church. Man, it's powerful. It's powerful. You know, understand this. There is an inner man. There's a war that takes place in a person's life. There's an inner man. What does he want? He wants the inner man to be strong. You've got to learn to deny your flesh. You've got to, you know, the older I get, I mean, the older I get, I feel like it does get easier. But I'm not saying that a young person can't deny that their flesh, because they can. It'd be stupid to ever say, well, you can't. It's like telling kids, you know, well, you can't stop looking at that. You know, you're a teenager. You know, we all did it. It's like telling kids, you know, everybody has sex before marriage. No, that's not true. It's like that kind of stuff that we throw out. You know, that's what the world throws out. No, people can be holy. People can be pure. Amen. They can walk with God. They can talk with God. Hallelujah. So this inner man, though, see, you begin to pay attention to this on the inside of you. That quickening, that comforter, that you know, he's there. Amen. That we be built up. We be built up here in our spirit. Amen. I tell you, you know, fasting will unlock a lot of things. We'll talk about that before we go into the new year. I tell you, you know, learning to deny your flesh. And, you know, learning to put things down. Learning to hear from God. I mean, you position yourself. You position yourself for this. God, he supplies all your needs. You know, think about the scripture in Philippians. He repeats it again in Philippians 4:19. He says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." According to his riches. We can pull things down. You can pull things down. Amen. Isn't that good? I think that's so good. Look at verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints with the width and the length and the depth and the height." I mean, you know, here we have four dimensions. I mean, it's powerful. Four dimensions that God's showing us, you know, how much his love, how great his love is. But, you know, think about this, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. He may dwell. Think about... that he may dwell. It's not that he's in and out. See, I think some people think, well, you know, I had a struggle today. He left. He's not leaving. It's that he may dwell on the... You're the righteousness of Christ. It's his grace. You can't, well, if I just get back to reading my Bible four times a day and I pray, you know, it's not something that you can go earn and do, and it's like, well, I'm feeling good today. I'm going to show everybody I got my A game on. No, it's not about that. You have to learn and know that you're the righteousness of Christ every day, that his grace is sufficient every day. Amen. I mean, it's that Christ may dwell in you. You don't have to kick him out. See, that's the thing about bringing your spirit man under. You bring your, you know, no. You've got to learn to talk that way. You've got to learn to talk to your flesh. You've got to learn to speak that way. That when something happens, you feel discouragement. No, I'm encouraged in Jesus' name. I sent out messages the other day. Just, you know, if I feel discouraged, I'll go and encourage people. If I feel hurt, I go pray with people. You turn it around on the devil. You turn, you know, go do something. Because your activation of faith, it pulls everything back in. Wow, isn't that cool? You know, I felt, you know, pastor should never feel discouragement. Yeah. I'm real. You're real. Everybody's real. So what do? You encourage yourself. I read the Word. Got in the Word. Listen to a sermon. Listen to people. You know, listen. Sometimes I listen to Evangelist Jonathan preach. I'm like, gee, that's funny, you know. And it just stirs something up on the inside of me. I got other ministers. I'll listen to Pastor Bracken in Alaska. I can't believe he just said that. That's good stuff, though, you know. And it stirs something, you know. I'm not putting on top 10 sad songs. You know, I'm not listening to, you know, oh yeah, I'll quit. But I'm not going to that place of depression or anxiety or a place of fear. I'm going to go encourage somebody. When I feel discouraged, I encourage. When I feel sad, I get happy. You've got to turn everything around. I always tell people this. If you feel like you're sad, call me and I'll make you laugh. I truly feel that way. Isn't that right, Brian? Call me. I'll make you laugh. Well, I'll say something funny. Why? Why do we don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to live. He paid a price for all of it. All of it. Not just a piece of it, but all of it. That he may dwell in your hearts. I'm telling you, that's where he's there. You pay attention that he may dwell and live with you. He'll take up permanent residence. You don't have to play games of, well, man, I'm out. Man, I'm out. No. He dwells. If I'm having a bad day, sometimes just chalk it up as a bad day, then have a good day tomorrow. That, see, that, you know, people tell me, had a guy come to me one time. He's like, you know, just seasons. I'm in a season, Pastor. I'm in a season. And I was just like, would you quit? You're making an excuse for staying right where you're at. Why don't you change your declaration? Why don't you change your speech? Now, I'm not saying there aren't times that you're contending, but if you're going through life talking about the seasons and talking about how it's this and how it's that, your eyes aren't focused on God. You know, there are people that, you know, I pray, as a pastor, I pray for people. I pray for people that are so assaultive in text, or not text, but on social media platforms. Always got something bad to say about somebody or the church. I pray for them because they don't have a revelation of the church. They're hurt. They're hurt people. People that want to go, you see me on there posting about how, has anybody ever seen a post from me? Maybe when I first started, I don't know, maybe I hope I never said anything stupid like that. You don't see me making posts on Facebook, you know, I just feel hurt. We're going into a series called Church Hurt this month, and you know, we're going to talk about how we're all hurt. Church hurts real. I'm not. People get hurt in church. You know how many people come here, they get healed, and then they leave? I should be hurt, right? They got healed, they left. Amen. You know, they come in, they praise God, Pastor. You know, I got saved again. I'm born again. I'm on fire for Jesus. I got everything I need. Now I'm going back to where I... Shouldn't I be hurt? I'm not hurt. What do? I give them be blessed. Go serve. Go do everything you can do for Jesus. That's what I tell people. You know why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to go on with you or without you. I'd rather just say, I'm going to be a part of it right now, right where I'm at. I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more for God. I'm going to do more for the kingdom of God. Amen. Because he loves me. Amen. And I love people. Amen. I'm going to be everything that I can be. That he may dwell in your hearts. Man, Paul's releasing that into his people, in the church here. Dr. Morocco was releasing that in this house this past week. That he may dwell. He may dwell. John 14:23. Jesus, he said this. He answered and he said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Get in the word. Quit making excuses. Stay in. I'm not hoping this is not coming off condemn. I'm not trying to be condemning at all. I see, the word will work for people. And we've got to show people how the word will work in someone's life. Kick your flesh. Kick, you know, you got to deny and you got to kick that stuff out. And but above all else, you got to find out where it comes from a lot of times. We'll get there here in a second because Paul, I mean, he covers so much in this. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home within him. He's going to make a home. He wants to dwell in us. Amen. That's John 14:23. You know, we have to pay attention to the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He's alive. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives in you. He wants to work with you. He wants to help you. Don't feel like it today. It's not. He wants to help you. He wants to work with you. Like I said, I it's easier for me here. You know, I felt discouraged. You know, when I was in Hawaii, it was like, you know, four places I could go to. You know, I'd stop at all of them. And I couldn't really talk story because a lot of people were working a lot of times. And, you know, here, you know what happened to me today? I'm at Aldi's. I'm busy today. I'm trying to prepare a sermon. Kids are coming in. We're excited about grandbabies. Amen. Pray for us. We're real excited. It's going to be time. We've got grandbabies coming in, and it's going to be fun. So I was at Aldi's, and this older guy comes over, and he gives a buggy to a lady. He's like, here, I want to give you this cart. And then they know each other, and they start talking. And I'm there loading up the car. And I'm kind of like in a hurry because I got to go over here, I got to go there, and I got to get back. And he starts talking to the lady, and I overhear the conversation. He said, you know what's wrong with this generation? People don't do this anymore. Just like you and I right here, we're talking. And he turns around and looks at me, and I'm thinking, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. And then, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord stops me. And he quickens me. No, you stop. I threw my... Because, you know, it was funny because the next thing he said, well, what's wrong with this? Well, you know what's wrong with everybody? Everybody's always on their phones. Went to the doctor's office the other day and he said, I look around the doctor's office and he said, every person in there's got their phone going. Every person's on their phone. He said, I just felt like standing up and saying, hey! You know, he's probably in his 70s or 80s. And I'm just like, I like this guy. And, you know, and I happened to notice because I could feel the Spirit of God being stirred up. He's got a cross on his hat. And I said, you know what would be fun in the doctor's office? Just start praying for people and seeing people get healed. He was like, his eyes, he got about that big. And he was like, yeah, that would be awesome. And it's those moments that you have to pay attention to. Because, see, what happens is like I can be in a place of like, ugh, just being whatever, being hard on myself. And then all of a sudden, God intervenes in a moment like that. And he turns things around. And how you get how things can be diverted in our minds, just like that. Be good, do good to all men. Amen. Pay attention to the little things sometimes. I know everybody's busy, but take those moments. You know, and I blessed him, and you know, and him and her were still there talking. Amen. We have to learn to yield. We have to learn how to make room. Make room. Clean out the junk. Make some room. Make some room. Paul goes on to talk. He talks about that Christ dwell in your hearts, being rooted and grounded. It's interesting because, see, roots. You know, we've covered a lot of that because you know roots are important. Roots, you want them to, you want the roots of Jesus to take hold. You want the roots of fruit to take hold. You know, but anything you understand about roots, that you know, anytime you're growing anything, like a tree or plants, man, it needs to be tended. It needs to be taken care of. You got to take care of yourself. That you be rooted. You got to take care of yourself mentally, physically. You know, you got to thrive. You got to take care of yourself in those areas of life. That you being rooted. And grounded, you know. But you know, above all else, that was just a piece of that. But rooted and grounded in love for one another. Rooted and grounded in love for one another. That's the church. You think about it. You know, was there disagreement 2,000 years ago? Yeah. Is there disagreement today? Yeah. There can be disagreement. But. Even in disagreement, you can tell where there's love. You can tell where love is rooted. Where love from a pure heart. Love you know, love from the right motivation. Amen. Rooted and grounded in love for one another. You know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. You know, let's look at this because when we think about the depth, the height, the width, the length of God's love, you know, Paul's using it as dimensional. It's interesting because you think about in dimensions, you can actually measure dimensions. The dimensions have my homeschool people, right? You know. So you'll see he's using something that is dimensional, which you can measure. It's really fascinating. You know, these four areas, that they can be measured. But let me say this, they're immeasurable. Because God's love for you, God's love for me, God's love for this world. The Bible says in John 3:16, right, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son. His only son. So how much does God love people? How much does God love us? Man, let us catch a revelation of that. It goes beyond our wildest imagination or even limitations. You'll see it. It's interesting in Psalms 103. You know, David talks about it also, and he talks about the dimensions, and he says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." The dimensions of love. Wow. I messed up. Well, you know, he loves you. I did this. It's getting back into that place of love. It's been my prayer. It's been my prayer of the last day. You know, Lord, I need a deeper revelation. But Lord, to understand the mission that you're asking me and my wife to move into, but above all else, that I can't do this without knowing that your love is real in my life. So show me, help me. Can I tell you it's okay to pray that way? Yeah, help me, Lord. Help me see, or help me understand. You know, because there's certain things God has helped me with. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God helps me with things. You know, don't get mad. You know, probably I would say that, you know, Miranda being here, I mean, if frustration-wise, she probably would see more of my frustration than anybody ever would in church. And I'm not saying, my wife and I have a great marriage, by the way, so. But, you know, as in frustration and even in working together and just, you know, married, I'm not saying, you know, we have a great marriage, but she'll see more of my frustration than anybody else ever will because of the closeness. We have an unconditional love. We love each other. It's not, you know, even if we disagree or we fuss, it's an unconditional love. It's a covenant. See, and that's the same thing with God. It's a covenant. You have a bond. You have a covenant with him. He's not going to come out of love with you. Don't come out of love with him. Don't come out of love with the things that he loves about you. I love, you know, you're fearfully, wonderfully made. Amen. You got image problems. You got issues with yourself. Learn the word. Stand upon the word of God. It'll help you. We never see ourselves the way God sees us. We're critical of ourselves, or we're this. I mean, honestly, I think for the most part, you know, that's, you know, there are some people that are very, but in behind that, a lot of times are insecurities. You know, that's why they're maybe haughty or seemingly whatever. But God loves you. You know, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8, great to trek in Romans 8, Romans 8:38. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Paul murdered Christians and was a part of that. Didn't separate him from the love of God. I mean, that's extreme, right? But well, I got mad at this person or I got that. You know, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Let that resonate in your mind. Nothing can separate that love that God has for me. How do I learn about his love? Man, I establish myself. I get rooted. And I think as a Christian, if you'll begin to see the mission for the church, and I think this is one of the things that I've been feeling very strong about. See, the mission of the church is always to reach out. The mission of the church is always to go. Think about it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, right? So it's in the, you know, we understand that God's plan is that none shall perish. So we have to have a mindset that God's always wanting to release in us. You go to a person, you go to a brother, you go to a neighbor, you go to a friend, you go demonstrate the love that's in you from me to someone else. So it's important to love yourself, but it's important to love him. I'm not saying, you know, you don't have to be all goofy about it, but you got to love him. You got to love the very nature of him on the inside of you. Amen. Praise God. Look at 19, verse 19, Ephesians 3:19. I'm going to move real quick here and close. It says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Wow. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Which passes knowledge. And I love it because, you know, Pastor Miranda was teaching on this, you know, there's the wisdom of God, but there's also, we understand that there's knowledge. See, you can have knowledge. You can have the knowledge that it's good to, it's good to be good to people. Right? You can have that knowledge all day long. You can sit there, no, it's good for me to be good to people. I should be good to people. I should love people. But see, the wisdom of God, it surpasses knowledge. But see, the wisdom of God is actually, no, you go be nice to someone. you go actually do. It's surpassing, you know, you can know something sitting here tonight. You know, and I believe even tonight, you can know that, you know, maybe God's laid somebody on your heart tonight. You can know, yeah, I should do that. I should walk in forgiveness, or I should drop a phone call, or I should do this, or I should do that. But see, we'll begin to walk in the kind of love God wants us to walk in when we pursue the purpose, the mission, the direction. God's about people, guys. He's about people. He's about, you know, he loves us. Amen. Isn't it great to come together in fellowship, get in the Word, hear the Word, listen to the Word? I'm so excited about Foundations. I love that. Dr. Morocco many years ago taught a series called Realities. It's all foundational stuff, and we chewed on that in HANA when we first got, when I first got saved was what I got ready to say. I was already saved, but I felt like I got born again when I was in HANA, so I was saved, but I, you know, was able to chew on that stuff for a while, and it was good. Realities was good. It was just foundational truths, and we all need that. We all need that. Which passes knowledge, you know, it's... I know that he loves me. You have to know that he loves you. You know, be rooted, you know, above all else, he loves you. Amen. Look at verse 18 and 19. I'm sorry. Let's just look at verse 20 and 21. Let's close with this tonight. It says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Whew. This is why we never lose heart. This is why I sit here and tell you tonight, there's going to be a lot of things happen in the world. I believe that we're all young enough that we're going to see a lot of things transpire. You know, you think in 1970s as I was a kid and 80s, you guys aren't, he's that old, you know. I remember the first computer. And now we have personal phones that are, you can launch missiles from. You know, you can see Bible prophecy. You can see everything. You know, everything beginning to take shape. You know, like you can begin to see this. You know, I was listening to Brother Tiff the other day, and talking about the return of Christ Jesus, and that, you know, that it's upon us, and that it can happen at any given time. We don't know the time or hour. That's very true. But see, I'm holding out, and I'm believing in my spirit that God, you know, give us time. I remember Amanda asked me one time, is it okay to pray for more time? And I've since then said, Lord, give us more time. Give us more time that we can reach a harvest, that we can reach people. That he would do more, you know, think about it. Now to him. It's not me, it's not you, it's not anybody sitting beside you. It's now to him who is able to do exceedingly, you know, even abundantly. And you know, the translation of this word, they couldn't even the translators had a hard time with this word. You see it in the Amplified, it says super abundantly, because there's no description There's really no true description of praise God. Next steps. We can't even wrap our minds around what God wants to do. You know that to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. See, that's the key. It's the power of God that's working in us. Amen. It's that power that moves me. It moves me to walk in forgiveness. It's the power that moves me to kick sin out. It's the power that moves me to be right with people. It's the power to talk in a parking lot with somebody when I don't feel like it. Or, you know, it's the power that's in me that's got a banner over someone's head. You know, Abu. I mean, you know, in Walmart. When the first time I walked in, it was like I felt like, you know. I don't always say, in India, like Bollywood. I don't know if anybody familiar with Bollywood. It's like lights and collars. And in India, they love collars. It's vibrant. They have all these radical collars, and they love collars. But when I walked in and seen him, you know, from and I seen he was from India. You know, you can kind of tell people from India, and all I could see was the how bright he was. Like all these wild collars, and I'm like, okay, God, there's a real highlight there. You can pay attention to those things. Pay attention to how the Lord will, he'll pull you out of your way. I know that's just one aspect, but to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's the power of God that is at work within us. You know, think about this. You can ask for every good thing you have ever experienced. God can go above that. Let me repeat that. You can ask for every good thing you've ever experienced. God can go above that. You can think or imagine things beyond your experience. God can go above that. Anything that you think or anything that's in your mind that you think, I'm going to build a rocket ship. He can go above that. I'm not. Maybe somebody feels called to build a rocket ship. I don't know, but you understand that he can go above that. You can imagine good things that are beyond your ability. God can go above that. He can go above that. We're not. We don't serve a limited God. See that's the thing. That if we get this, we catch this. God's not. He's not limited. He's not limited. Now let's. We're limited because we don't ultimately know how to tap into the source. That's another message, and we need to cover that. But we've got. You know, we've been preaching that. I shouldn't say we've got to cover it. We've been preaching that. It's going to even be foundations. You're going to catch that. But it's like you tapping into the source. You know, anything that you think, well, I want to do this. Oh, he can go above that. That's what I felt like the Lord showed me this week. Doctor, he said something to me. I'll share this. I know there's a lot of things we discussed, but he looked at me and said, if you want to just be, you know, right where you're at, doing what you're doing, that's fine with me. He said, that's fine with me. He said, if you want to, you know, you guys are doing well. You guys are doing well. If you want to be right where you're at, Fairmont, you got, you know, things are going well. You know, we'll build a church there. If that's what you want, you know, it is what I want, absolutely. But, you know, he was saying something, and he was just like, I'm fine with that. You know what he was saying to me? Not everybody's going to be me. Not everybody has the same call. Not everybody possesses, not even the same skill set to do what others do, right? I mean, but what he was saying, it was very, very, not very much was said at that point, because even in by my spirit, I knew what he was saying. You know, don't limit God. Don't limit the one you serve. Don't limit the one you serve. You know, take the limiters off, right? Don't limit him above more than you can even think or imagine. He said, you know, if you, you know, yeah, never mind. Don't limit God. I'm probably more excited about where we're headed than I ever have been. There's a lot of things that we have to ask the Lord to do. And I believe through prayer, through prayer, I mean, that's, and through hitting, you know, reaching people as I believe this church is going to do, it's above what we can even think or even imagine right now. You know, we're standing over there on that property the other day and just praying, Minister Darren, and we're just there, and, you know, he's like, what about the land in the front of this building? What are they going to do with that? I don't know. Above all we can even think or even imagine. Amen. Man, I want shine for Jesus. Position yourself. This is a great time to begin to position yourself. You know, I feel the body of Christ has to do this right now. It's, you know, and I've prayed this way for you and for this church that, Lord, if it's going to happen, I want to be a part of it. Amen. If it, you know, revival, it's going to happen. I want to be a part of it. I mean, some of the phone calls that I have to make even in the near weeks, I mean, it's, I don't, you know, I have to make phone calls and say, I don't have resources, but I got faith. Do you have faith? I don't have resources. I don't have money. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? I mean, six years ago, pounding it out here with five people. We had faith. We had faith. We paid the rent. we did. I mean, I wasn't worried about whether or not I believe God. You know, built this stage. You know, we didn't build this stage, but Miranda, I don't know, Minister Lehow was here, Minister Marr. Miranda had an idea at 11 o'clock one night. She went and bought all this tile. I wish I knew Brother Don then. Because she was like, I want to put this new stuff down. It's about 10 o'clock, 10:30 one night. Can you get that stuff off there, off the, can you get the old stuff that was on there off? It was carpet. And they had glued that down.
And the wall was
they had, it needed to happen. The church used to be yellow too. Most of you guys might remember that. It was ugly yellow. So if you like that color, you're a part of painting it. I'm sorry, but it was very ugly. So, but I, you know, it just from place to place. And, you know, I was in here at 10:30, 11 o'clock one night and just got to make this stage look better. You know, it's just like the building. We know we got to do things to make it better. I mean, Miss Bev, I think we got kids in every room. You know, it's like doctor come in a year and a half, 2 years ago, said, dig the ditches, and the Lord's going to fill them. We dug the ditches. You know, guys jumped back there. They jumped in, and they got the room done and did that. And it's just been continual like that. It's like, dig the ditches. God's going to fill them. Dig the ditches. See, that's the thing right now that, you know, everything has to begin to work like that. Every area. Every area has to begin to flow like that. We keep digging, we keep digging, we keep digging. We keep believing, we keep believing, we keep believing. I'm believing, guys. I mean, you know, we'll finish out over a couple hundred people won to Christ this year. That, praise God. I rejoice in that. Love that. But I'm setting my faith for over 1,000 souls next year. From all over the place. Amen. And God's going to raise up us to do that. It's not just, you know, it's not just me. It's all of us. Praise God. I'm going to close, but I hope you got something tonight. I love the book of Ephesians. Probably made a little more sense this week than it did last week. So thankful for you guys. Thankful for this house. Thankful for everything that you're doing. Amen. Do it because you love Him, though, okay? Do it because you love God. Serve because you love Him. Please, do it because you love Him. That's what, you know, that's what doctor said. You know, you're great. You know, you guys are doing well. Reach more people. Raise up leaders, you know. Just let's do this thing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys very much. I mean, it's you guys all ready for Christmas? You guys ready for Christmas? Got your shopping done? You guys got your... No. I went shopping yesterday. Ugh. I just thought I could do all my shopping at Costco. I don't guess that worked very well. Told my wife I'm going to Costco to shop, and that didn't work, so... Praise God. Sunday's going to be good. Bring somebody with you, okay? You know, our program's going to be...
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.